Today I want us to consider the type of hope the church proclaims. That question has always been important, but to me I think it seems particularly important in these days. So I want us to think about hope. And that's a word that's not always easy to grasp in a world that is often so gripped by despair. Of course, there are voices out there who will say that we aren't really gripped by despair, but rather we're just focusing on the negative, and that if we'll just focus on positive things, all will be good. But you know, if hope is to be real, it must be powerful enough not simply to sound like a pie in the sky, all is well, because the blinders are on, artificial words, but rather a hope which is unafraid to wade into the messiness of the world, to wade into the world's chaos, to embody another word, another possibility for this world that God loves. It is to this type of hope which the church must bear witness. And it is that type of hope that makes hope something for us to live. So let us pray. Oh God, you are the healer of our every ill, the light of each tomorrow. Open our hearts and minds to hear your word, and give us peace beyond our fear, and hope beyond our sorrow. Through Jesus Christ, the hope of the world. Amen. Let's hear now Paul's letter to the church in Rome, and as we listen today, let's listen together for the word of God. Paul writes, "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the one through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing in the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us." The word of the Lord. In a marvelous book about the church's call to join boldly with the Spirit's work in the world today, I once read about how hate and alienation and brutality and fear have reduced the world to chaos and reduced the people of God to paralysis, and humans to a sense of having been abandoned. We are in desperate need of hope, with power to move us beyond these things into the wholeness God intends for this world. And so we turn to Paul's words about hope in his letter to the Romans. But I can't help but wonder, how many times did you wince when you listened to Paul's words? I found myself wincing quite often as I studied them for this week's sermon. Part of the reason has to do with the seemingly trite treatment of suffering in the life of faith. Those wonderfully poetic lines that began, "But not only that, we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character." Those lines seem to cause the most reaction in me, and I would suspect for some of you. If you've ever been quoted a variation of that phrase while in the midst of suffering, you know how absolutely infuriating it can be. As I thought about this text this week, I remembered a story I had kind of put in the back of my mind. I can remember when it happened. It was the last weekend in April one year when I was a student in the seminary in Louisville. That first Saturday in May in Louisville is a big day, the Kentucky Derby. But the 2 weeks before it in Louisville are full out celebrations and festivals and all of these things. And I always took part in a soccer tournament, 5-on-5 on a small field. It was a great, great time. Well, the story I remember springs from that soccer tournament. My friends and I were sitting beside a field watching a game when a player kicked the ball out of bounds, and the ball was coming about 2.5 feet off the ground, which coincidentally is about the height of a seated human's head, and the ball hit my friend seated beside me. Didn't cause any real pain, but it hurt. And so the player who had kicked the ball looked at her and said, "Hey, it'll build character." And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. Whence? How many times when searching for the right words have we stammered out some variation of Paul's theme? We know you're suffering now, but one day you'll understand. And just look at the character it's building in you. Or I don't know why you're going through this, but it's building a better you. Time after time, when words fail us, instead of wading into the painful waters with another person, we skim a smooth stone of theological platitude across the surface and skip away as quickly as the rock we've thrown. Is that what Paul is doing here? It can't be, can it? Or is Paul talking about something altogether different from the ways we typically speak about hope? Most often, our hope talk is pretty shallow. I hope I get an A on this test. I hope my team wins the championship. I hope no one notices that I wore this shirt yesterday. Pretty simplistic ways of using a word filled with such theological depth. Surely the church has another way of speaking about hope. Frederick Buechner has some wonderful lines about this distinction. He writes, "For Christians, hope is ultimately hope in Christ. The hope that he really is what for centuries we have been claiming he is. The hope that despite the fact that sin and death still rule the world, he somehow conquered them. The hope that in him all of us stand a chance of somehow conquering them too. The hope that at some unforeseeable time and in some unimaginable way, he will return with healing in his wings." Or as Buechner says in another place, "Christianity is mainly wishful thinking. Sometimes wishing is the wings the truth comes on, and sometimes the truth is what sets us to wishing for it." I think that's what Michael Jenkins, the president of Louisville Seminary, describes when he writes of the time when his daughter was in the hospital and he and his wife were terribly afraid. Looking back from the vantage point of several years, he put it like this: "I didn't know how things would turn out. I just hoped. And the hope became a sort of solid trust. And the trust I felt more like I was held than like something I was holding." Surely this is what Paul has in mind when he wrote those lines to the church in Rome. He was inviting them to consider how they were being held by God offering hope in the midst of chaos rather than just commanding them to hope. If there was anything the Christians in Rome knew, it was persecution and suffering. And Paul wasn't about to dismiss that with their trite theology spouted into a vacuum. No, he wanted them to sense that their hope lay not in their own efforts to achieve wholeness and peace, not in their own ability to persevere even through suffering, but instead Paul wanted them to know in the depths of their beings that their hope was in God, who in Jesus Christ brought peace and reconciliation, and who through the continuing ministry of the Holy Spirit offers the wholeness and peace which God desires for each of us. It was this hope, which wasn't something they had to cling to, but rather, like Jenkins put it, it was something that was holding them. So you place this into the larger context of his letter to the Romans. These words, which can cause people like me to wince if read across the surface, well, they embody hope when seen against the backdrop of Paul's words. Paul has borne witness to his own suffering and to the suffering of Abraham and even of the Christians in Rome. It wasn't that the suffering was to be ignored. Rather, it was the sense of joining Abraham and hoping against hope that God will do what God promised to do. In spite of what evidence around you suggests, Paul writes, you're part of something far larger than yourself. And the story's ending has been written by the God who in Jesus Christ, by the power of the Spirit, sets things right. This is our hope, that God has power. This is our hope that God through Jesus loves us beyond measure. This is our hope God will set things right. And it's the church's job, your job and my job, to remind each other again and again, to remind the world that has been reduced to chaos, in which the people of God have been reduced to paralysis, in which humans feel abandoned by others and by God, causing them a real despair. It's our job to remind them of this hope. You know, there are so many things happening in this world today. Like you, I struggle to catch my breath. It's one thing to know and trust the providence of God, but it is so tiring to wake each day to a world where so many things and so many people defy God's righteousness and love. And we are consumed by days like that lately, where all we see are signs of chaos and loss. But one day this past week, I walked into the fellowship hall and saw a table filled with painted rocks. I hope you saw them on the way in or will look at them on the way out. Our Camp Smarts community created them last week. They're called kindness rocks. And the idea is to put them in the community and perhaps someone who comes across them will be encouraged. Smile, love, joy, hope. Well, I can tell you from experience, those rocks work. When I saw them earlier this week, other pictures began to fill my mind. I pictured Stephanie and the others on the planning team imagining what a time of painting rocks might look like. I thought of all the adults that had taken time to help our children make these creations and the hope they must have had. I thought about my children and the hope that is holding them as they live out their faith among this congregation. Those simple stones offered me a counter word to the despair that is too easy to feel these days. Well, that's what the church is to be. We're invited to be in the world, to be shouting stones who witness to God's power to hold us, even in the midst of the chaos. We point to the God who has promised that all shall be well. One day, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess to the glory of God. Jesus Christ is Lord. And we will come together in peace and in hope. And we need each other to remember that, not only for us, but for the world. And so now, as living stones who are moved to shout, let me invite you to stand together with me and the church in all times and places as we say together what we believe. God keeps God's promises and gives us hope. In the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, God kept God's promises. All that we can ever hope for was present in Christ. But the work of God in Christ is not over. God calls us to hope for more than we have yet seen. The hope God gives us is ultimate confidence that supports us when lesser hopes fail us. In Christ, God gives us hope for a new heaven and earth, certainty of victory over death, assurance of mercy and judgment beyond death. This hope gives us courage for the present struggle.